Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
We're doing it. We're really doing it. Good.
We're doing it remote this week due to a non-COVID related injury, a non-COVID related illness, not sepsis from a UTI.
Yeah.
Like
I think it was from it had to do with E. coli, which is a whole different thing.
He got E. coli in his dick hole? Is that what happened?
It's hard to say.
I have no idea who got
Bill Clinton's in the hospital because he, but they were like, it's not COVID, but it's like, okay, but he's like very sick, right?
And they're
like,
who is?
Yeah. Bill Clinton. You know, the guy who was president, remember him?
I just didn't hear the name clearly.
They said it was like originally, like one of his doctors said it was like started as a urological infection. Everyone's like, come on, dude. Like, really? Like, that's what we're, but then I saw it was E. coli. So I don't know how those. I don't know. Maybe
it was he had E. coli in his bladder, I guess.
He was fucking a hot tub jet, clearly.
How that happens.
That's Bill Clinton's whole retirement plan.
I won't mention the fast food chain that I only know exists because they had an E. coli outbreak in the 90s that still exists.
We won't mention them unless they sponsor us.
That's right. But he was, he just whipped it out and put it in a, I don't know what they serve there, a burger or something from there. And so,
Eli does not have COVID, but he wasn't feeling well. So we were recording remotely, but it's not E. coli from what I understand.
Kath is doing a HIPAA violation right now.
Sorry.
That's COVID-19! Personal information. This is me at my MBA press conference. Personal information.
We're playing it safe because we got a big thing going on a week from today that we don't want. We want to make sure everyone's healthy for.
We got to be on top of our game in peak physical condition to do a live show for our lovely listeners at Caveat at 7 p.m. on October 23rd with Joe Firestone.
Yeah, and you should buy tickets to it. There's a link in the description. There's a link on all of our social stuff, and you can just go to, I believe it's caveat.nyc. Look at the schedule. It's right there. And you get $5 off if you are a patron. There's a promo code in the Patreon feed. So
I almost just said the Patreon code out loud.
Just say it out loud. Yes.
We'd have to beep it.
Just bleep it. Yeah. That'll make it seem more cool and exclusive if we bleep it out.
It's so many letters.
We just kept saying it over and over again.
It's a hash. Patty made it up, so it's hyper secure. It's
an MD5 hash.
Yeah. You actually need a Cyrillic keyboard to fully enter the Patreon code, but that's for your security and ours.
It's a series of words. Some are capitalized. There's special characters in between the words. It's very secure. Impossible to brute force crack.
What was that story that I thought sounded like a Patty-mo password the other day? I can't. It was like gorgeous burrito lunch or something.
Gorgeous like enchilada lunch, I believe.
Gorgeous
is what it was.
Enchilada lunch.
Phrase that I will think about as my neurons are firing in my deathbed.
I was ready to get confused and say our actual Gmail password. Be like, all right, another bleep. You know what? Cut it. Dump it.
I think it was that guy Bill Gross. I think we talked about the story. It was like the guy who had like the loud music blasting in his mansion or whatever, or something like that. He got community service, and he satisfied it by serving what he referred to as a gorgeous enchilada lunch, which is just upsetting.
I tried to Google that story based on gorgeous enchilada lunch, and it did come up. But first, like 9 million Mexican restaurants came up, which like I hope somebody is just doing SEO for them, and they're like, we got to jump on this story. We got to get on this. But it was that guy who was, quote, in the Daily Mail referred to as a Bond king, which like, I feel like anybody who's like a king in a story like this is always like a psycho, always corrupt.
Yeah, this is the guy who was playing the Gilligan's Island song over and over again while not living in the house, I believe, to annoy his neighbor. That was what that guy's deal was.
Yeah, he did the thing from the season 3 of The Sopranos where he had his goons take out the boat and play Frank Sinatra at the beach house neighbor guy.
Yeah. Just a classic no heroes, you know, situation. They're mad about the art the guy, you know, like the $1 million art the guy had up was not pleasing to the other guy or something. So anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Gorgeous enchilada lunch. That's the moral of that story.
Not a gorgeous lunch I've had. Though I'm realizing too that I get mostly takeout, and you don't get a lot of gorgeous anythings when you do takeout.
No, even but if
it was gorgeous,
like,
when it left the restaurant.
Yeah, an enchilada in transit does looking gorgeous. No. That looks like throw up. That is a throw up meal.
It's delicious food. It's
very tasty. Might get one after this. But
presentation is not the focus of serving an enchilada lunch.
Looks like barf. Looks like throw up.
That's why I feel like some things, you know, you gotta. It's like if you get like a burrito bowl, you know, like they have to make it look not disgusting so that it doesn't seem rude to give it to you. So they're like, here's a mound of rice and a dollop of guac and blah.
Right.
But like, you stir it up when you get it, but they can't. If they stirred it up and gave it to you, you'd be like, this is fucking disgusting.
How dare you?
They have
this
to make
it. This is a grave insult.
Yeah. Here it is, boys. Yeah, just not.
This is disrespectful to give to me.
Looks like crap. Yeah. It is crap.
Yes. My favorite.
Business card man is on.
Business
on the
card
soundboard.
Psycho. He's making his debut.
Did you just put in that because I was singing Start Me Up recently, Shelby? It's been in my head, and now I feel like I'm actually being haunted by it. Well, someone's like, he was listening to music in a mansion, and whenever I imagine anyone listening to music by themselves in a mansion, I think of Start Me Up. And I think it's because, like, how many times a day do you guys think Mick Jagger listens to Start Me Up? I feel like it's, like, a lot.
That's his alarm when he wakes up in the morning. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to like what you make as an artist, so I think that's fine. You know,
does anyone do that? When I unwind, I listen to recordings of my sets.
I remember I had like an extremely dark moment a few years ago because my dad, like, for Christmas, I asked my parents what they wanted, and my dad was like, "I would like a really nice framed picture of you for my office because I have like a picture of you as a little kid. I don't have any like more recent pictures of you. So I would like just like a really nice framed picture." And I was like, great. So I got him a framed picture of me, and then I was in my parents' basement wrapping it. And while I was wrapping it, I was listening to our podcast. Like, just, I don't listen all the time, but like every once in a while I will listen to one just to sort of, you know, just to see what it's like. And doing that while getting ready to gift someone a picture of your own face, I was like, this is fucked up. This is really bad. Like,
I was hoping
this is a real, like, a low point in my life that I need to think about.
Your dad
I think
like,
I'm looking forward to cracking up.
Just your dad being like, I would really love like a really nice frame picture of Mick Jagger. Just like a really cool. Also, that's
so really
the perfect,
make sure it looks really cool.
Yeah. That's the perfect time to just like subtly Photoshop your own face so that it just looks a little off, and then give it to your dad and be like, here, put this on your
and put it in his office.
Work, yeah. Everybody at work is like, why is his daughter's face so small? Have you noticed? Yeah.
Give yourself like the black hole sun treatment, like bigger eyes and bigger mouth, like a little bit.
just slightly. Just enough that it's like very unnerving. Yeah. Yeah.
So she's got kind of like a Gollum situation going on here.
Gollum? You got a Gollum kid? What's up?
You got one of those Gollum kids? Eesh.
So did your daughter find a ring in a river? Is that what, yeah.
Walking by there's a Gollum in the intensive care unit. It's like just it's just Gollum. And he's like holding the ring. You're like,
in the burn ward. They helped him.
A non-COVID related illness.
Yeah.
It's the ring.
Running an incredible battery of tests on Gollum to try to figure out what he has.
I tried to go to the ER and I couldn't see anybody because it was full of Gollums. They were taking up all the resources.
It's an episode of House where he tries to figure out what the fuck Gollum's deal is. And then he finally walks into the end of the episode with the one ring and he's like, well, I found it.
He figured it out. Yeah. He realizes it's the ring during a hot date and he runs away. And
House would not be tempted by the ring because there's nothing else he needs. He's already maximally superior to everyone else around him. So it has no appeal to him.
No. Yeah. it's just Vicodin. He's already got everything he needs, which is Vicodin.
Yeah. That's actually what the movie's about, is about the opiate crisis. That's Gollum.
Just House jumping on Frodo's back to stop Frodo from throwing Vicodin into Mount Doom.
Yeah. It's the whole thing. When they say potatoes, that's what, you know. More ants. Why aren't there any?
Fry them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched, I loved House when it was on. It was on when I was, in high school, and I was like, this guy is so cool. I love him. And at the beginning of the
Backstrom,
pandemic,
and everyone was like, oh no.
Oh no. This is the logical conclusion of thinking House is cool, is now we have Backstrom. This sucks. But I rewatched it at the beginning of the pandemic because I was, I guess, just thinking about doctors and stuff, and it was kind of a comfort show. And yeah, it's really bad. It's not a good show. Mm-hmm. House is very racist. He's extremely racist and not cool. Not a good guy.
I've never seen Bosch, but that's what I always assumed it was. I was like, this is Cop House. This is a detective
house,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, I feel like there are a lot of cop shows with a house-like guy, but I feel like it's way less sympathetic when it's a cop not following the rules, because when a cop doesn't follow the rules, he shoots people.
You know? I feel like Sherlock, copping. Sherlock or Luther is Cop House.
Mm. I mean, yeah, House is based on Sherlock.
Oh, he is?
And Sherlock,
I didn't know that.
House, yeah. Holmes, get it?
Oh, my God.
Get it?
Wait, are you fucking serious? No.
Yeah. I like the idea of Sherlock Holmes as, his last name is spelled Holmes, short for homeboy.
Yeah.
Just Holmes.
Yeah. Yeah. We should do numbers, by the way. Or no, wait, actually, never mind.
I don't know if we fully covered House.
Well, I thought... We cut out a few minutes, so we're not actually at 15 minutes.
This is a real behind-the-veil intro.
Eli's
sick. We cut some stuff out.
Look, I just want people to know feel like this is a part of maintaining a parasocial relationship with our listeners.
This is what trauma looks like.
I would love to talk about House for a full hour. I'm all about it. I love him.
Let's just start a House podcast. We can talk about every episode of House.
Well, House
House
also,
recap show.
There's hundreds of episodes to be made, so that buys us at least a couple years.
Mm-hmm. It's also impressive because House did it fully came around on because Lupus was always on it, and at first people were like, "This is good because Lupus is isn't a well recognized disease." But then they did Lupus so much that then Lupus was
people were like.
Okay, well, now lupus also isn't funny. We like the recognition, but also it's real. It's not
lupus
a...
Lupus is played out.
It became like a joke on the show, because they always thought it was lupus and it never was. And then there was a goof where one time it was.
Yeah. Before that, I feel like the only thing that people knew in the popular imagination about lupus was Howie from the Backstreet Boys had it.
I always think of...
Lupus Riemann. What's the guy from Harry Potter? That's what I think of.
Well, this is before that. Lupus.
His name was Remus Lupin, not Lupus Riemann.
Oh yeah, roast me for not remembering
Harry Potter books. It would be weird if his name was Lupus. I think I can roast
would
you
it
about
be that,
that.
Would it be that weird? I mean,
it's
other
a
people
disease.
That are called Sirius Black. So is
That's
that
true.
That bad of
they
a name?
All have bad indie wrestler names. That
Isn't
is that is
the
very
guy
true.
Who's a rat is named Wormtail. The bar is not
his
high.
Name is not Lupus though. Anyway, I was about to say something and now I forget.
I want to issue a correction for anybody. There's probably some person who's been mad for the last minute at me incorrectly saying that Howie from the Backstreet Boys had lupus. His sister had lupus and unfortunately passed away. But that's
why
that
do you remember that?
That's the first time I remember hearing about lupus.
My main association with lupus pre-House was the Mitch Hedberg joke about alcoholism, which was that you can get mad at somebody for being an alcoholic, but you would never be like, "Damn it, Otto, you have lupus." That's the punchline from that's when I heard about it. I always remember Otto too, because it's like, who's named Otto? What a weird example.
The driver from the Simpsons. That's it.
Otto Man.
Oh yeah, Otto.
Otto.
I'm gonna have a kid and name him Otto, and people are gonna be like, "Well, who's he named after?" I'm like, the cool bus driver from the Simpsons.
Pretty good. He doesn't get the respect.
Hail to the bus driver, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His name means eight. It's cool.
No.
Does it mean eight
in Italian?
So it would be. You can use it. their name would be Eight Golden Beards, right?
It would, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
eight
a fable.
Golden Beards. It'd be beautiful.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Is so it we're gonna do
numbers, but you should come to the live show or stream it if you're not
show.
Local.
Don't do that right after this riff. Come to a live show after at one of our other riffs that isn't about the name Otto.
We promise not to talk about House on the live show.
Or if you want us to talk about House, let us know. Maybe we'll talk about House.
We'll do a vote. We'll do a show of hands if everybody wants us to talk about House.
The live show is going to be 4 hours long because every time we're about to talk about something, we will take a vote of whether the audience wants to listen to it or not.
This is what democracy looks like.
We're going to put a button.
It's going to be really embarrassing because the audience will keep voting no, and then we will not be able to have the show.
Yeah, sure.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Oh, my God.
Patty is once again frozen, by the way.
Oh, I assume that was just his reaction to the Hillary Clinton drop.
Throw me that number five sound clip.
Number five.
Number five is from Adam in the Discord with his spooky name of Village of the Adamed, which is pretty good. I like that. Good work. This is a story from Canada. A man in Canada called 911 while he was stuck in traffic with a classic problem. Not one I've ever solved by trying to call 911, but I think we've all been there. He had to pee really bad, and his solution to this was to call 911 and let them know. So he's stuck in traffic. I guess, like, obviously this was a bad plan. This did not work. Did not help him through this problem. But I don't know if this is necessarily the tack I would take if I were the police. Police tweeted his phone call and said, "Please do not call 911 if you're stuck in traffic and need to pee," and then tweeted the recording of it, which seems unkind to me. But
is it too unkind to play the recording on the podcast? Because now I'm very curious.
It's only 38 seconds. So yeah, let me see. I'll send it to Shelby.
He's definitely rushed for time.
He is rushed for time. I'm surprised. Okay, I'm sending it to Shelby.
He's gonna be talking like the Micro Machine Man.
He's giving the disclaimers for the side effects of needing to pee really fast.
Hello, by your ambulance.
Yeah, I need an ambulance, please.
You need the ambulance?
No, I need the police.
Well, then why did you say you need ambulance?
I didn't say ambulance. All right. I said I need police.
Okay. Do you have the police? Yeah. Where is the emergency?
Actually, the thing is that I have to pee, and these guys are not moving.
You have to pee?
Yeah.
This is your emergency that you have to pee?
Yeah.
And how are the police going to help you urinate?
I have to pee, man.
But I'm not sure what you like me to do that you have to urinate. I can't help you with that. I am disconnecting. Thanks. Bye.
First of all, that is not how you should be trained.
Yeah, that is an asshole.
Immediately
that
so
man is an asshole.
Yeah, what happened in that exchange?
He just misheard him. He just misheard him and then was a dick about it. Like,
said,
now I'm more on this
ambulance.
Guy's side.
Well,
why'd
police.
You say you need an ambulance? I didn't. You misheard me because you're bad at your job, apparently.
He said like, ambulance first time round.
No, he's a police. He just has an accent. He said, "I need a police."
Oh, okay. I heard ambulance also.
That was
so.
Like that was like DMV.
I'm not
level.
A 911 operator.
You know.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, yeah, man. If you're a 911 operator, people who are calling you might also be flustered. It doesn't even matter if they say the wrong thing. They're probably in great distress.
Right.
And
like, well, why did you say that?
Pee.
I don't know. I'm freaking out. My leg fell off or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Michael
you don't know
Myers
what's going
is
on.
In my house. That's
yeah,
why
my leg
I
fell
got
off,
it
man.
Wrong.
My leg fell off, so I called 911.
Oh, your leg fell off? Okay. Yeah, right. Just being like completely skeptical of everyone who calls 911.
This dude's
that's
lucky
a big
that he had to
lie.
Pee. If this was a real emergency and he's wasting time berating this guy, the recording would be like the opposite, where it'd be like, who's training this person?
Yeah. No, that's an asshole. That's very not cool.
Yeah. I don't follow guy's logic still, but you know.
I guess he wanted like a police escort, like out of traffic or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, just pull over. You're also as a woman, I have no sympathy for this because you can just pull over and piss because you are a man. So,
it's
like,
worse, yeah. How do you not have any Must have a really clean car. You don't got, you know, like
right.
a Gatorade bottle.
No Gatorade bottle? Come on.
Come on. That's what
just
they're
piss
for.
Piss all over the, you where you sit. You know, piss all over the inside of the
just
car.
Piss yourself.
Sorry.
Just spray it up onto the dashboard. Get it recirculated through your AC. No, I don't know. Like,
I'm just thinking about, I just watched that movie on Netflix, The Guilty, which I will not spoil, but is about a 911 operator played by Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. And they do have some, they like to sort of establish the scene. They do have some like kind of funny calls at the beginning. Like there's a guy, this is not a spoiler. There's a guy who calls in because he got robbed, and it's like very clear very quickly that he got ripped off by a prostitute, and he's like sort of slowly like revealing the fact that he got ripped off by a prostitute, like just like stuff like that. But yeah, no, I'm just imagining Jake Gyllenhaal dealing with this guy who has to pee and then doing what he does in the movie, which is take it upon himself to solve the problem on his own without any institutional help. He's just like, this guy's gotta pee, man, like just getting him like police escort and stuff.
I mean I don't know how you get to this point where you like, I don't know. I guess the best you could hope for is you're like, basically you're like, I'm about to pee outside. Give me permission. Then I'm not going to get arrested for that.
Right.
I have to
yeah.
go.
I need a documented, like, look, I tried all my other options. I remember when I was in middle school, I was in a orchestra concert. And no, it was a band concert. And we were like in the auditorium. And in the middle of the concert, I had to pee so bad. And I was like on stage. And it was one of the most stressful moments of my life, was like trying to figure, because I was like 11. So I was just like, I don't want to get made fun of. Like, how do I deal with this situation without being made fun of?
It's high stakes. You know?
It's very high stakes, because like as an adult, it's just like whatever, just like walk off the stage. Who gives a shit? But like, I was a child who just wanted to avoid all you know, additional attention or scrutiny. So I did end up just walking off the stage and then coming back. But like, and I played the flute, so I was like in the front.
Yeah,
you know
I was about
I mean?
To be like, what instrument were you playing? Because that makes it way funnier. You just
there's a police
the
escort
around.
For someone who has to pee. Going on behind me
yeah,
right
flute,
now.
Flute, panicked flute is a big time like have to pee instrument. I feel like so that fits.
What's that mean?
If you got like a panic tuba, you got a different situation going on. Mm,
I see what you mean. Yeah, this is clearly a yeah. The soundtrack to being panicked about having to pee is a flute for sure.
I do feel like at least like a flute maybe isn't an instrument. I don't know. I've never played the flute. It's like, it's not one that really makes you like need to pee. I feel like if you're playing something that really took like a full body, like if you're playing like a sousaphone, it would be very hard not to pee and also play a sousaphone at the same time.
But all you know? Sousaphone players are just always peeing a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because you have to use like your
catheter.
Core.
It's like the NFL. It's every marching band is just covered in piss the whole time. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of those complicated uniforms.
Yeah,
I'm also surprised that that Canada uses 911, because I thought that was like just because
I thought that was just us
don't.
Too. Yeah, I thought I didn't realize that was that was Canada as well. But
one of the I'm not going to go into Ted Lasso, but I still love that they called that out, and it's a very funny thing to call out that England uses 999, and then they're like, "Do you get a lot of accidental calls?" And they're like, "Yes, that happens all the time."
All the time.
Yeah.
Also the replies to this tweet with the recording in it are all people being like, why is this 911 operator so awful? Like,
yeah, he's so mean.
He's really mean before he even knows what's going on. Yeah thumbs down.
I feel like that he's mean enough that if I wasn't calling, if I had a reason to call but it wasn't like, he's so mean that I almost would hang up and call again. Be like, hi, the last guy was like a real dickhead. Anyways, there's been a, you know, accident.
Oh, the killer's in your house? Okay. Just like, wow. All right, dude.
Sure. Have you been watching a lot of scary movies lately as the person's like getting stabbed to death?
Yeah. Oh, I've heard this one before.
Yeah. So do you need an ambulance or do you need the police? Well, there's a killer and I'm hurt. So maybe both. Just why don't you send everybody?
Just
why don't
send
who
you
the
got.
Fucking squad. How about that? Send them my way.
Yeah.
Jesus. Be kind to this man. What did he end with? He must have just peed himself, right? You don't pee yourself. You pee. Yeah. I mean, you pee outside. That's the thing is that.
Open
that
the door
like,
a crack and like just pee out the door, right? Yeah. As a non-penis haver, like my understanding of what I just assume that like you can perform expert piss maneuvers
Get it out the door. I mean, you'd have to like fully open the door and then you would just be it would be better to get out and piss against the car
If you crack the door and if you can kind of maneuver around the wheel, you have to put the car in park. I assume traffic is that bad that you could do that. But
doors have that wiggly, you know, they have like a zigzag seal. Yeah.
But if you do like a side plank facing out the door, you could probably angle it. You'd get some on like the part of the door that you step on the car to get in.
Inside of the car.
No,
you'd maybe get some on the little like rubber foot.
Yeah, and that's easily fixable. So
I just pee on the outside. You're going to smell that. Go on the outside.
I'm just imagining now like some kind of parkour maneuver where it's like splay legged, one foot on like the car seat, other foot on the open door, and you're just like pissing downward.
Yeah.
You do the gentleman, like the thing to do, the most acceptable to handle this is you get out and you pee on the wheel, which is the, you know, that's the kindest way to do anything. You don't get it on your car. You just go stand by the wheel. Everybody knows what's happening. You do it. You get back in your car. Everybody knows why you did it because you're in stops. You know, you're in complete standstill traffic.
This just brought up a recovered memory from like a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I was walking home. It was at night. I don't even think it was a weekend, but it might have been. I remember it not being that late. And I was walking home through like Bed-Stuy, and these two guys were pissing in like one of those tree, like the square where the tree is planted on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
They were like pissing next to each other, like very close together into this like tree well.
Doing Ghostbusters.
In silence, like totally in silence, I walked by and I got like half a block down the block and I heard one of them go, "Stop looking at my dick." I was just like, what is happening? Like, is this for my benefit? Are they like doing a bit for me? Like it was so weird. It's just very
just like
strange.
Wait until you're right. It's like, we're not gay, by the way. Just
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Just one of those little New York gifts. Like yesterday I was walking down the street and I thought I heard someone behind me spill coffee. And then I turned around and it was just a man vomiting. I was like, oh, well, sir, apologies.
Was he vomiting ice cubes? Or I guess it was not an iced coffee.
I mean, it sounded like someone spilled a drink because it was, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but I was just like, oh, someone had an different kind of accent. Well, good day to you.
Vomiting ice cubes seems like it would be very unpleasant, but also very funny to hear a clattering vomit would be like pretty funny.
Oh, man, I've had nothing but fucking Tom Collins today. I've just been housing the full drink with cubes in it.
And they haven't melted yet for some reason.
Like, I guess you could do it with those little ice pellets you get at like a fancy cocktail bar, maybe.
That's it for if Frosty the Snowman gets absolutely blitzed, he throws up ice cubes.
He throws up like a Sonic drink. It's all the like crushed ice.
He throws up one of those slush puppies.
Yeah.
Nasty. Yeah.
It's very dark red and he's like, oh, wait, no, I had beets. I had beets.
It's all right.
Yeah. Well, this man, I don't know. I mean, are they going to charge him and stuff? Because you can get like serious. They're not going to.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's the reason they tweeted it is they were like, this takes up time from people who might actually be in serious trouble. But it's like, oh, so they can get condescended to by your operators?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. I don't think this makes the guy look worse. The guy obviously should not have called 911 because he had to pee. But this does not make the emergency services look super dependable.
Yeah.
Definitely they're basically just like, don't call us, please. That's what they're saying, which
send
I kind
an
of respect.
Email. Yeah. Send an email that we can ignore.
Yep. Yeah.
That was like.
Let's do number four.
Okay.
Sorry. Unless you have a final thought, Eli.
I just, the whole thing is like very hard to. I remember once there was like a crack in my wall, my old shitty apartment, and I got worried that it was structural or whatever. So I didn't know what to call. So I called, I didn't even call the emergency room, but I called like 911. I was like, hey. Every 3 seconds, I was like, this is not an emergency. Please don't send everybody.
You called 911?
I called, I think, what's their one that's like...
311?
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, like, no, these are very different. That's why I'm wondering.
But
311
called,
is the, like, civil complaint stuff.
It
like,
wasn't
you report
a civil
construction...
complaint.
yeah, construction was, violations and stuff.
I think I maybe called a
fire
station.
You like called 611 in between.
I called something that wasn't, and I was like, but I it was maybe even called the fire station. I was like, hey, please, this is not an emergency. Please, and like every 3 seconds, I was like, please don't send the truck. But I just want somebody to come check and see if this is something where I should be concerned about my apartment. And then like they're like, great, cool, all right. And I was like, please don't send the truck. And then 3 seconds later, I was like, woo, woo! And they sent like three trucks. And I was like, no. I've probably told that story before on the pod, but man.
But no, that is tricky because it's like, I think you are supposed to call 311 for that, but I think the chances of anyone actually ever doing anything are pretty slim if it's 311. But yeah. The only other option is that they send a fucking truck. Like, there's no one who just can, like, come and do it normal style.
But it was like, weird because they did it. Like, I understand why if you're on the phone and say, don't send the police, they still send the police. I am not, there's no chance that I'm being held hostage by a fire where I'm like, the fire's being like, don't fucking tell them. Tell them not to send the truck. Just send one guy to look at my wall, please. They brought tanks. They like bring oxygen tanks into my apartment. I was like,
they swatted you. They aimed their guns at the crack in the wall. They shot basically. It bigger. They just made the crack bigger.
Yeah. They demolished my house for safety.
All right. Number four.
Number four comes to us from Sharton Mean, classic name that we all enjoy. This one is from Down Under, a Western Australian man, accidentally caught a great white shark while he was fishing.
Oops. This is,
we've all been there. And instead, you know, he released the shark back, but apparently what he did was, and they're just kind of reconstructing this because they don't really know exactly what the story is, but they believe he took the tracking tag that was put on the shark, and because what they use these tags for is when the shark gets close to the beach, I guess alerts go out. And
I have an app on my phone that does this, and it's really funny because it sends me push notifications of when there's a hot single shark in my area.
It sends push notifications to the baddest surfers in the area. Yeah. Most badass surf boys.
Anthony Kiedis from Point Break and his gang of tough guys who all got gunned down in that botched raid. But
R.I.P.
This guy apparently was doing this. He took the tag and he started doing pranks with it. So people were getting these alerts that sharks were coming. The shark
has checked in at Joe's pub. It's like, what?
This man.
This shark is now the king of this grocery store on Foursquare.
Shark is the mayor of the area that you're currently in. And looking like a seal because you're thrashing around.
he's being this fake underwater Paul Revere ass, telling everyone the sharks are coming.
I do like the idea of bringing it to like the aquarium or something. Like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You should not do this. Like, this guy sucks and is bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, fish.
When I go to the aquarium.
First things first, don't catch a great white shark because they're cool and don't harm them. But also, if you do happen to get one of these tags, don't weaponize it against the people that live in an area by saying sharks are coming. He did this on 7 different occasions between August 13th and September 1st. So, like, you know, this would be a way to get the mayor from Jaws, recalled and thrown out of office. Would be to just be like, oh, no shark, beep, 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 you know, and all the people in town get the notification. So this guy is, he's 48 years old, which is pretty old to be doing pranks like this, I gotta say.
This, George Clooney or something?
It's goddamn George Clooney.
Clooney playing pranks.
Take it to Lake Como, pal. See if there's any sharks up there. In your beautiful house in the beautiful area. So he's got a court hearing coming up. He's been scolded by the police for being irresponsible. And also, there's a side effect of this that I hadn't considered until reading the article. There's now an untagged shark that's out there.
You didn't think about that?
I didn't think about that either.
Immediately was like, well, now that shark's he's untracked. He's rogue.
He can do whatever he wants now. So
yeah, he's free.
He only has God's tracker, the fin. That's the way you naturally track a shark.
Your last thoughts as the jaws clamp down. But I didn't get a push notification.
Yeah.
but my app was working. I just updated it.
That was it. Australian kind of vaguely Jerry Seinfeld-ish guy for some reason by me there. Not sure what that was about.
Jerry Seinfeld getting eaten by a shark.
No!
Good impression.
Oh!
But I had the app! Yep. R.I.P.
It's a little funny. It doesn't seem like anyone was harmed as a result, but they got to get this shark retracted. They got to get this shark back in the system.
Well, how the fuck do you want to find him?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. fishing, I guess.
That's why you got to put one, and then you got to put a secret one. So it's like, so this way you won't know what to look for.
It's like
this shark is
like the jeans at Urban Outfitters. You need redundancies.
Exactly. Oh, we got the one that everyone sees. Did you get the secret one inside the cuff?
This is like the shark. I feel like the shark has the equivalent of like he had like an ankle monitor on and this guy cut it off and he's just like partying now.
Yeah,
like
he can get
shark
drunk
is,
now.
Yeah, on Rumspringa now. Can just go nuts eating tourists wherever he wants.
That's what the tracker is for. This shark was drunk. He was caught. He was notoriously a drunk shark and then was tracking his.
Do you think a drunk shark would be more or less dangerous?
I feel like it would just sink or something, right? I don't know.
It would just drown.
The bladder system.
If you put a shark into beer instead of water, then yes, it would just not.
Then
it would.
Well, then it would die.
Yeah,
it would be awful.
But that's different. Like if you put me into beer, I would probably also die. You know.
This is.
We've seen this in the classic film Beer Fest.
Beer Shark.
Yeah.
I'm Johnny Knoxville, and this is the Beer Shark. It's just a dead shark floating in a tank of beer. It's like that, who is it, Damien Hirst? But it's way worse. It's just a dead shark in beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just gross. Yeah. I've heard that Damien Hirst sculpture is like rotting. Like it's like completely falling apart and disgusting.
Yeah, good for whoever bought that shark, and now your whole house smells like nasty tuna or whatever.
20-year-old formaldehyde shark. Yeah. Gross. Yeah.
Someone heist the rotting shark from whoever's house bought that.
I wonder where that is. That's a good question.
It's probably the Bond King guy. It's probably that guy.
It's probably the Bond King guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
A gorgeous enchilada lunch in front of the rotting shark.
Oh, no. Someone has stolen famous still life. Gorgeous enchilada lunch. One of the most valuable still lives is a... You know, one of the first products of the Impressionist movement is gorgeous enchilada lunch.
It's a Goya. It's beautiful. Gorgeous enchilada
Goya
lunch.
Goya would paint an enchilada lunch and it would be horrifying. It would be like haunting.
True. We're going to just send us money so that we can commission a traditional oil painting of a gorgeous enchilada lunch.
Gorgeous enchilada lunch sounds like a meal that you would have with Pinhead from Hellraiser. Like he would announce it.
A gorgeous enchilada lunch.
You'd be at a long table and you'd both be on either side of it, like 100 feet away from each other, and then you'd be served a gorgeous enchilada lunch.
It's the fucking the pale man from Pan's Labyrinth, just at a table in front of a gorgeous enchilada lunch with eyes on his hands.
Oh, brother.
You got to stay away from the enchilada. You got to, do not eat any of the barf on the plates, okay? Or he will come and get you.
Yep.
Yeah, just a dusty enchilada lunch.
Everyone's like,
forbidden.
No problem. Wasn't going to eat it. Looks like barf. It's fine.
Yeah.
Not tempted.
Yeah. So anyway, this guy in Australia is going to get kicked by the prime minister or whatever they do to punish people down there.
It's kicks. That is how they punish people in Australia.
He's going to get a boot in the rump.
Yeah,
a boot in the fanny.
So, good luck to
the shark.
Watch
out for that shark, everyone. Be safe.
He's free,
baby. Be safe out there. You can't trust your app anymore.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Shark's app is useless.
The tagline of George of the Shark, watch out for that shark.
Yeah, the classic line, watch out for that jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he swings into a jungle.
George of the Ocean, maybe? I'm trying to workshop this a little bit.
Yeah, let's spend some more time on this.
Let's really dig into this.
Into
really
a shark.
Has legs.
Yeah. Not unlike George of the Ocean, he's got his legs bit off.
He's got fins.
He swung over into that shark. Oh, well.
Number three.
Come to
number
our live three. Show.
Come to live show.
Number three, this comes to us from Chris Phantom of the Discord. This is from an oddly just like, you know, I feel like our news is weird enough that it's not often we get something straight from like the AP Wire or Reuters. But this is from that. This is a cool new kind of house that someone has built.
New house just dropped.
Yeah, new.
Here it is.
Check it out. This is a Bosnian guy. He is described as a self-taught innovator, which just means, I think, someone who has ideas.
That's
pretty
yeah.
broad. Not even inventor.
Self-taught innovator. no, he doesn't invent things. He just takes things other people have invented and then changes them slightly.
I guess so.
Yeah, this guy didn't need to take a class to innovate, to have ideas.
It's in his bones. It's in his blood.
I majored in innovation. We studied the spork for 4 years. It's a full degree. So this guy's wife, I guess, had wished,
You made it sound like she like met a genie or
something. I know, but that's what they said.
This guy's wife, she found a well, a magic well, and the rest is history.
I don't know if this is like translated from the native language of Bosnia, and that's why it sounds like poetry, but it does.
But she did wish. Stories.
It says, seeking to please his wife, who had wished for a more diversified view from their family house, a Bosnian self-taught innovator has built a rotating house, allowing her to watch a rising sun in one moment and passersby in the next. Which sounds like, at first sounds like he was like this romantic sort of man where he's like, I'll build you the perfect house, my love. But then he immediately says, I've gotten tired of her complaints. So it's not that.
At what point do you just tell this woman, like, just turn your head?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, look out a different window.
Damn, sleep in a little bit.
Oh, you want to look at two things? How about you sit in a chair outside? Get her a lawn chair.
See the damn sunrise. Why don't we just, hit the snooze button, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah, pop a bar stool in the yard. Spin yourself out, lady. So he got tired of her complaints and frequent refurbishing of her family house. And so he built a rotating house. Again,
he just
put
the whole house on like a Lazy Susan, right? It just spins?
Pretty much, yeah. And then again, I don't know. There's so many weird poetic details that are unnecessary to this story. Situated on a fertile plain in northern Bosnia, I do not know why they need us to know that this is a fertile plain.
this whole thing is a folktale.
The witch's spinning house. Yeah, his wife is Baba Yaga, and she was tired of the views from her hut. So he put it on giant chicken legs so that it could rotate. that's his work. This Bosnian innovator. So it's situated on a fertile plain in northern Bosnia near the town of Serbak. Five-letter word with one vowel. So
got it.
I wish me luck. It rotates. The house spins around a 7-meter axis. This is what I enjoy. Sorry, I just caught a line from this story. This is what I enjoy, because the house has variable speeds, you see. Now, its slowest speed is it takes 24 hours to make a full circle. So he built the house at the same speed that the earth rotates, I guess, which I guess is cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think rotating once in 24 hours would probably be I think it would still be bad for you. I think it would still, slowly destroy your equilibrium.
People pay a lot of money to go to corny restaurants that do this.
It's
on top
true,
of buildings.
Yeah. God, when I was a little kid and we went to Disney World and we went in the restaurant that does this, I lost my damn mind. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
I think
24 hours, that makes sense, because then you can rotate it based on the light, so you can always have really good light in your house. It's completely pointless and insane, but I can at least sort of understand it.
Yeah. Well, I was also wondering, if you work in one of those restaurants that spins, if you spend, 8 hours a day, are you just, seasick all the time? I feel
you spend the two hours after work in, a decompression chamber or something. It just completely fucks you up.
You have to wear one of those, behind-the-ear patches that people who work on, skyscrapers work on, because you work in the spinning restaurant. Now, here's what I really enjoy.
Just constantly eating Dramamine.
Yeah. Popping drams. So here's
the,
what I enjoy.
The tiredest wait staff in the world. Just the sleepiest, sleepiest waiters.
Yeah. Can't wait to ride the bus home with vertigo because I work in this spinning restaurant.
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
So
I bet one of our listeners has worked in a rotating restaurant. Please let us know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's just the dining room that rotates. I don't know if the whole restaurant does. So I think maybe that helps, but I don't know. I might be wrong.
I guess it depends on the spinning restaurant that you work at.
That's true.
So there's multiple speeds. That's the slowest you can go is a one circle in 24 hours. The fastest that this house can go is it can do a full circle in 22 seconds, which is...
That's too fast. That is so much faster than I thought you were going to say.
So in 1 minute, you'll spin about three times, which is...
That is so fast.
That is basically living in the house from The Wizard of Oz while it's in the tornado.
All your shit's going to fall over.
It's going to go flying.
You live on the fucking teacups. Like, you're just...
Vomit everywhere. You'd be making gorgeous enchilada lunch all over the fucking living room.
That is bananas. Why would you do that?
Well, we're finding out that this is probably mostly spite architecture.
Okay, yeah. He's sick of complaining. He's like, you want to spin? I'll show you spinning.
Are you happy now, horrible wife?
Is this fast enough for you?
I mean, programming that in seems like at some point it's going to get stuck on that speed. Like, that just kind of is where this
you just have
to
move because your house won't stop spinning.
And there's no way it's stable. Like, if you're spinning... three times a minute in a house, your furniture has to be in the right place or you're going to, it's going off the rails.
Well, there's no way it's stable because it was built by a self-taught innovator.
basically, a square.
He lifted the whole house and put it on top of like the thing from Age of Ultron, the thing that shoots the city into the sky, only it rotates instead.
Yeah.
I can't see any problem with that. Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Here's another line. His wife did not wish to comment on the new house.
Do you like it? She's like, no comment.
Yeah. He was inspired by...
The comment was, whoa.
She could not give a comment because she was too busy throwing up. She could not speak to the reporter.
It took him 6 years to finish, except time off for a hospital stay because he had a heart condition.
So this rotating house is probably really good for him.
Yeah. Well, here's another quote from the guy. Well, I guess while I was in the hospital, I asked doctors to try to prolong my life for at least a year because I have this project in my head and nobody will know how to complete it. He also says the house is more resistant to earthquake damage than stationary houses, which
I guess
I can't like maybe.
That seems unlikely to me. It seems like it would be less stable, but who knows? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe he just means like, because they had to bolt everything in the house to the walls and floor. Yeah. Like if there's an earthquake, there will be less damage.
It's safer during an earthquake, but it has to be set to top speed. And then it's gyroscopic. It's like a button, you know, it just stays up. Like, but you are rotating it three times a minute in this awful house. Good luck to the person trying to sell this. I would love to get a tour of this and have some real estate agent be like, also, it does spin. So there's that.
There's that.
Yeah.
It is another quality. Can't say it's positive or negative, but. Yeah.
There's like, are these east facing windows? Sometimes.
Three times a minute. Yes, they are.
Just like handing a remote over. You tell me.
Yeah. You know, it's like being tormented by a ghost, but you control it, you know, so that's good. It can be
exciting for your dinner guests.
It's barely torment at all.
Yeah.
It's barely torment. Well, yeah, I hope his wife has stopped complaining and is now complaining about an entirely new set of problems she has. I think
she just gave up. I think she just, man, that's how you win an argument, I guess.
That is true.
That's one of those stories that, like, the headline is like, oh, that's, like, you know, crazy, but, like, a nice thing the guy did for his wife, I guess. And then it's like, I got sick of her shit, and so I did this thing. And it's like, all right, this is not really, like, as inspiring, maybe.
As Eli said, it is spite architecture at this point, so.
Six years. Wow. You know.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, good luck on that marriage. It's
Number two comes to us from number two comes from Eric. I want to get it right here. Eric banished to thesis hell in the Discord. So I want to make
good
sure
luck on your thesis, Eric. I'm assuming that's what that means, is that you're currently writing your thesis.
This is a story from the bottom of the sea, and it has to do with brown crabs, little guys walking around down there, and I guess what we're seeing is that there's a bunch of underwater cables, you know, in, as part of infrastructure for all of our shit that we've done to the Earth, and this is off of Scotland. They did this study that cables for offshore renewable energy emit an electromagnetic field, and basically the crabs can't resist walking up to the electromagnet, and they just kind of sit there and hang out. That's like the thing that happens because of the field. I thought it was going to be like they couldn't resist. Like the headline says, you know, brown crabs find underwater power cables difficult to resist. What I thought that meant is they tried to chop them. That's no. You know.
No, they love it.
They just like to go over there and hang out and kind of like the hum, I guess. That's like
the hum.
And it's about 5% of the strength of a fridge door magnet. So that's the minimum sort of that leads them to be attracted to it. And they just kind of go over there and they sit. It's not a problem in and of itself, but they're lazy. They're not foraging. They're not trying to mate. You know, it's not really great for the species. Generally.
But they're all there together. I was thinking it was like a cool like crab nightclub where they all hang out and like, you know, socialize.
No, they just
You'd think they'd be like, mating.
They just go and sit there.
But this is like, it's like the equivalent of like a structure where like people, this is their, you know, whatever the Amigara fault, where like they don't eat, they don't sleep. All they do is listen to the hum. They just love.
What's the Amigara fault?
It's the story where the people like, there's a hole in the wall and they're like, I can't resist. I have to cram myself into my hole that looks like me in the wall. It's a good story.
I know. I've seen that. I know. Yeah, I know that.
But they can't resist.
That's what glory holes are. That's just.
It's not exactly what glory holes are.
No, that's what it is. You just can't resist it. You're like, it's the size of my dick. I have to put my dick in it.
Actually, I think a glory hole being the size of your dick is like the worst case scenario. That would be
yeah, if it's a tight fit, that's no good.
I think you want a little wiggle room.
You really want to make sure the sides are like finished on that if it's a tight fit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's a problem.
Yeah, somebody didn't do the full craftsmanship, didn't sand down the edges.
Gotta sand down the edges.
You definitely gotta sand down the edges.
Yeah.
It's a common problem.
Yeah. So these crabs, it also, you know, not doing anything like with us, changes their sugar metabolism. So they store more sugar and they produce less lactate. So that they just get fat inside their shells. I guess their shells don't get fat.
I bet they taste so good. I bet these crabs taste so good. Let them sit down there, and then we can just scoop them up.
They stop making that sweet crab milk.
It changes the number of blood cells in their bodies. Apparently,
well, that's bad.
And
what
it makes
the fuck
them
is going on?
More susceptible to bacterial infection. But they said, they need to basically these offshore wind farms is where these cables are connected to,
mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I guess you know. They're supposed to be migrating up and down the east coast of Scotland, and if they don't do that, that is not good. And there's also like fishing, you know, economy and stuff has to do with that too. So they got
fishing
figure
would be
out.
Very easy. You just go to the goddamn cable and scoop.
But
them.
The fish who eat them probably are being affected by the fact that they're not migrating.
Then you gotta invent a new cable that fish like, and now you got now you're set.
You got to figure out every animal's hum
is
the thing. And so that they, you know,
they
can find the right pitch that they like to hang out at. I wonder what it like does for the crabs, you know?
Maybe it's just
like
kind
like
of
a good jam? Yeah, that's what
Maybe
I was thinking is it's like a massage.
Them.
Which again, I feel like these crabs are going to taste really good. They're getting massaged all day
Kobe
and they're
crab.
Getting fat.
It's like
delicious.
A Wagyu crab, dude.
It's like it's like the crashed ship from the Stephen King book, The Tommyknockers. That's what I'm thinking of here. It just kind of has an irresistible pull.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
They love the hum. Can you, does this mean you could replicate, is this the hum? Or is this someone's
that was,
apartment?
I don't know what the hell that was. That was some kind of truck really.
The hum is invading Patty's apartment right
there.
Now.
That really towed the line between, is this a Shelby drop or is this a real strange traffic noise?
Or is this in my brain after thinking about the hum for too long?
Yeah.
It's very ghostly.
It's one of those big trucks, like that. It's like, I cannot believe how loud this is and how loud it's long for. Like, it's like, how is it still loud? Yeah.
So could you design like a little orb that makes this hum and then just like drop it into the water and crabs would flock to the
I guess if you just dropped orb. A magnet in there, they'd probably come over and chill if it was
well,
a strong enough magnet.
I'm going to head down to the goddamn Red Lobster with a magnet, see if I can get all the lobsters to worship.
Just recreate the scene from Venom, but with a magnet.
You don't have to give him the meat anymore. You can just give him a little magnet.
What happens in Venom? Does he make friends with all the lobsters?
He like eats the lobsters out of the tank at Red
Lobster. He jumps in the
lobster tank.
Oh,
I wasn't going to do that. That's nasty. I was going to drop a magnet in there and see if they were mesmerized. I'm not going to eat them while they're raw.
You're not going to eat them? I'll eat them.
Maybe I'll cook a... Cat's always eating raw lobster.
Yeah. No, like raw crab and it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they Don't they have diseases and stuff? They're ground feeder, bottom feeders.
I'm pretty sure I've had raw crab. I think that's like in sushi and stuff. Might be wrong. Maybe it's steamed. Anyway.
Maybe don't eat these crabs until we figure out what's going on with these guys.
Look, I don't have all day.
You eat them and then you crave the hum.
I'm going to eat the crabs, okay?
I'm going to eat them. Everything you've told me about them, I'm like, I want these in my belly. I want a gorgeous crab hum lunch for sure. Yeah.
You figure out how to fix it later, all right? I'm eating the crabs.
I'm eating them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting there. I'm eating them. No, yeah. This is so they don't know why, really. They're just like, they love it. And they just hang out, and they will go there beyond any other biological imperative.
Yeah, I mean, this is the explanation from this scientist. Alistair Linden, which is just powerful.
Oh, like, you're going to have some lab accidents if that's your name. That's...
Ooh. I've made a spill.
Yeah.
So Alistair Linden, what's his name at night when he transforms?
Right. Exactly.
It's like Mr. Grinch.
He transforms into a big crab. He's a half crab, half man, Alistair Linden.
Mr. Grinch.
He turns into the Grinch.
He turns into the Grinch.
In a lab accident, now I turned into the Grinch.
I was doing tests in my lab on the Grinch, and then I accidentally fused our DNA together.
Yeah, that's actually just Watchmen, but only with the Grinch.
The Brundle Grinch. He just, it's the fly, but he turns into the Grinch.
Is that that Twitter account Brent or whatever, the one that's like saying something to a friend? Like,
oh, the Grink?
Yeah. The Grink.
Me texting a friend that I accidentally sent the misspelled the Grinch to before. Hey, I'm going to the beach. Him. Oh, cool. Is the Grink going to be there?
No, it was even worse. It was like, hey, guys, I just got back from being stranded on an island for 3 years. Like, I'm back. Oh, was the Grink there? Like, you have like a horrible... traumatic, important life experience. They're like, cool. What did the Grink think of it?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Have you told the Grink? Stevie Griffin there? Was Stevie Griffin?
Stevie Griffin is very, very the Grink.
Yeah. Well, I think what this suggests is that this is the same hum that's emitted by the true king crab, the emperor crab in the deep sea.
Buried deep below the sand.
When all the crabs have to come back for their orders, for their missions.
Yeah. When he's ready to emerge, he sends out this hum. Mm-hmm.
He's in there and he's like, your mission is, once again, get the meat on hook. You have to get it. That's something that'll never be funny. I was tweeting, I can't stop thinking about meat on hook as a crab's like ultimate goal. Sorry, it's been in my head for way too long for very stupid thought.
Meat on hook. Well, now you also know electromagnetic cable. Like I said, Alistair Linden here. Said, underwater cables emit an electromagnetic field when it's at a strength of 500 microteslas and above, which is about 5% of the strength of a fridge door magnet. The crabs seem to be attracted to it and just sit still. That's a scientific analysis. That's what
Alistair
they know.
Alistair Linden and his microteslas. This guy, his hair sticks out 6 inches from his head minimum.
Yeah, this guy straight up looks like Dr. Wily.
This man has his own hum. He emits a hum himself. It's Dr. Wily. Yeah. Oh, a new study from Dr. Robotnik has reported he's been able to mesmerize the crabs. That's why they're all trying to kill Sonic. You just mesmerize them with the hum.
Big mistake trusting Dr. Wily in the first place. You know, you, the name like that, you can't, you know, Dr. Light is a guy you can trust. And he's, you know, so but.
I don't know what you guys are referencing.
That's all Mega Man.
It's Mega Man. Okay. He's the guy who makes all the Scissors Man and stuff.
Dr. Wily makes the bad robots. Dr. Light made Mega Man, who's the good robot.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. That is what I would have guessed.
Yeah, but they lose all the time because Mega Man kind of won immediately because they're like, what if one of your hands was a gun? And now he's stuck being guys like, what if one of their hands was a boomerang? And that's just, you're going to lose that fight.
And like, also when my guy beats your guy, he gets the power of your guy. It doesn't work the opposite way. It's like, oh, that seems like a pretty, okay, well.
Tell me more about Mega Man. Please.
Famously, in Japan, he was originally called Rockman. So that's one thing.
Famously deep lore game, Mega Man.
Don't even get me started on Mega Man X. There's a whole different set of things there. Anyway, let's leave it where it is. We can talk about Mega Man later.
Come to the live show. We'll be discussing House and Mega Man.
Dr. House and Mega Man.
Yeah.
The two most seminal pieces of media of our time.
That's right. So these crabs love the hum. we'll keep you posted if we find out how they know how to stop the hum or something.
Yeah. Maybe at our live show we'll get a tank, we'll buy some crabs and a magnet, and we'll see if we can mesmerize them on
stage. Live science experiments at the live show.
What if but you said the hum is 5% of a fridge magnet, so what if a full magnet just makes them explode?
All right, number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Oh, number one comes to us from Haunted Gay Furby. Thank you for the story. This is a little peek into some drama, some local business going on in Leeds in England. And this is reported. Thank you to whoever on Twitter reported this. It's also from, I assume, Leeds, because they say this bakery in Leeds is having an absolute mare. And I don't know what that means. That's a horse, as far as I know.
Half the time we do a story from a British local source, fully 33% of the words in it, I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
It's like totally
smack
incomprehensible.
Smack barn pay wet.
This is the smack barn pay wet bulletin about what's going on.
Just fucking French fries on a sandwich, you sickos.
Hey, do not disparage French fries on a sandwich.
Or steak fries on a sandwich, I should say, maybe more accurately. Mm.
It's fine. Give them to me. Great.
So this is a place that's apparently called Get Baked, and their owner is fucking losing his mind. Here's the original post. This is a Facebook post from them. They say, just a quick heads up to let you all know that we're closed tomorrow for the following reasons. Number one, staff training. Number two, need to get some other important shit done. Number three, everyone's fucking knackered. This weekend has been utterly sensational. We've had customer visits from countless cities, sold fuck tons of Bruce. Bruce, I think, is the name of this cookie or something. It's like Birthday Bruce. Sold fuck tons of Bruce in various forms. Oh, and not to mention a lovely visit from Trading Standards, which is some, you know, British sort of ruling authority with a name that Trading Standards. On Friday, after someone reported us for using what are apparently illegal sprinkles. More on that next week. Hope you fail. Get baked.
So they're like a sassy bakery, I guess, is their vibe. But yeah, it's the main thing here is illegal sprinkles. Somebody reported them for illegal sprinkles.
Yes. Which seems to be someone, this is an inside job, because I don't think anyone else would know that these sprinkles are
illegal.
Who
is trying to take this down from the inside?
They didn't pay the sprinkles tariffs.
I think that's what it is. There's like,
it's some, yeah. So this is the next day. Here's another next post. Sprinklegate update. It's not good news. We have heard back from Trading Standards and have been told that we must cease use of our sprinkles with immediate effect. Obviously, we will be following the rules and removing them as of now. It says,
do they say what's wrong with them?
Like, yeah, they do later. I think it's like a coloring agent that's not allowed in Britain because they have more strict, you know.
Okay.
It's
yeah, their food can't just fully be made of chemicals like ours can.
Yeah, it's made out of humming crab shells or whatever. Not allowed. So this post continues. whilst this might not seem like it's a big deal, it's actually very fucking annoying, as a lot of people ask for birthday Bruces, which, again, this is some British shit. That's the name of their cookie or cake? Birthday Bruces and raspberry glazed donut cookies are not only our best-selling cookie, but they're utterly sensational. It is, all caps, highly unlikely we will find any legal sprinkles that we will use as a replacement. British sprinkles just aren't the same. They're totally shit, and I hate them. I am extremely passionate about sprinkles. That's a paragraph by itself. I need to think this one over. We will obviously need to make some adjustments to the menu in order to compensate for this truly horrendous ordeal. I did do basic research to find out this, make sure this wasn't just made up. BBC seems to have covered it. So I do think this is, you know,
this is
like
a real thing.
This is just a funny owner to. And this is one option where the RGDCs, which mean raspberry glazed donut cookies, are concerned, is to glaze them as normal, but just not use sprinkles. It makes me sick just thinking about it.
It makes me sick. It disgusts me.
I want to puke.
Just thinking about it makes me sick.
So
I'm going to find who dimed us out. I'm going to find the rat, and I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of bullshit.
that's the Lions coach, right, Shelby? I guess you can't respond. Anyways, so here's some more posts from them. The sprinkles are imported from USA and may contain colorings that aren't allowed over here. They're being tested, and we will find out next week. I realize how insane this is. Unfortunately, I am only prepared to use them and no others. If I can't use them, I won't use any. I will be
except
on sprinkle.
No substitutes.
Yes. I will be on sprinkle strike, and I won't budge for no man. Then he says, anyone who's into sprinkles will know what I'm on about. Sprinkles you can get in this country are totally shit. They look wank, they bake wank. Birthday Bruce, which again I think is a cake, will never be the same again. I've genuinely lost sleep over this.
I mean, I will say, have you had like good sprinkles? They are different. Like,
yeah, most
good
sprinkles are shitty.
Are
so if you find
really
good ones,
good.
They gotta be good.
Yeah. I mean, mostly they taste like a crayon, I think. They're just like wax.
Yeah, they don't really add much. Bullshit. It's just visual more than anything.
I mean, texture, like, kind of. But yeah, they don't really taste like anything. But good sprinkles, very good. I will side with this owner on this. I did not know that British sprinkles were bad. But given what we know about British food on this show, I'm not surprised that they are not very good.
Yeah, unsurprising.
They boil them. That's what they do.
Boiled sprinkles.
They make them. Yeah, they boil them for 12 hours.
Yeah, they're made. They're made like the primary ingredients like snail slime or something weird.
It's like sawdust mixed with sugar. Yeah,
blood
it's left
sprinkles.
Over from. It's left over from war rationing. They just still make them that way.
Sprinkles are a byproduct of they use the what's left over when they make eel pie or something.
Yeah.
It's the crumbs from their pie crust for eel pie.
Yep.
They're
or yeah,
blood
no,
sausage.
That one stargazy pie where it's the fish heads poking out of the pie looking up. Who thought that would make someone want to eat a pie? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it sounds cool.
It does sound cool. And honestly, I do love a baked good with fish in it. Like I do. I like a fish empanada or something like that. But
like,
I must object to that presentation. It's no good.
I feel like there was a time where just like no one knew how to make anything taste good in England. So they were just like, it was like all presentation because they're like, it all tastes. I mean, that was when they were doing aspics and shit where they were like, I don't know. What about like a beef shank in a like suspended in gelatin? Is this like good? And people were like, I guess because.
And it is like, to be fair, it is also because they had like very serious war rationing in a way that like we did not over here, which is part of it, like to give them some credit. But then they just kept doing all of that stuff.
All the fish bodies are needed for the war. Eat your fucking pie. Enjoy your fish head pie. Yeah. Made them look at the ceiling. So
we
the
need
kids
those
would
fish
like
skeletons
it.
For the war effort.
Yeah. We need those fish skeletons for Heathcliff, who's at war. He has to eat all of them. I've genuinely lost sleep over this, not to mention the raspberry glazed donut cookie, which does sound good. Don't even get
I want
me
a birthday Bruce. I mean, he's talking them up quite a bit. I want to have a birthday Bruce.
Just so you know, Eli, Shelby responded in the chat. He said Bronos, which it took me a second to realize he meant Broncos.
Was the Grink there, Shelby?
Bronos.
Does the Grink play for the Bronos?
It sounds like somebody you have to kill in God of War.
Big Bronos fan here.
One of the lesser known Greek kings, Bronos.
Yeah. Famous Bronos quarterback John Always report.
this sprinkle story is very funny. It reminds me of have you guys ever seen, there's a Joe Wengert sketch that's on YouTube called Girardi's Frozen Yogurt.
Yes, Girardi's is an all-timer.
It's
very good. If you're listening and you have not seen it, definitely look up Girardi's Frozen Yogurt.
It's very completely good. Fantastic. It's like a manager of a frozen yogurt place speaking at like a staff meeting. And it's just a monologue, so it's just him talking. But it's so funny, and it's so... It's not angry like this. It's a different vibe, but it is like this long, drawn out explanation of all this minutia that is just very, and it's baked good. So it's treats. So it made me think of the same kind. Yeah. You know.
It's all about misuse of the bulletin board. Where he's like, now the bulletin board is supposed to be for like, if we're out of chocolate chips, that's something you could put up there. But lately, all that's been on the bulletin board is a lot of pictures of elves. like, I don't understand it.
And I'll give you just another example. That's please what he keeps saying.
Go check it out.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. I was going to do more Girardi stuff.
Don't just do someone else's comedy on our show. I think we profitable. Do that quite a bit. It could be very profitable.
So yeah, he's mad. Don't get me fucking started. I'll tell you one thing though. If that doesn't result in a new t-shirt slogan, I'm hanging up my fucking hat. So...
Now you're missing the last one that I'm seeing here. I pulled up one of the posts anyway. He says here to whoever reported us.
This is the next one in order.
Okay, you're doing it. Yeah. Okay.
This is where he finally does hazard a guess at the culprit. To whoever reported us to Trading Standards, comma, parentheses, Dan? Question mark.
Oh shit! He's naming
downstairs
names.
Dan, dude.
Dan just got called out.
Yeah.
Dan is on notice.
Yeah. All I have to say is, dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane. I don't know if life Jane, is that a thing?
Is Jane like a slam in some way? I'm not familiar with that. Yeah.
My daughter, who is now 7 months, not 7 months old, you know, that's British. She's 7 months and they got to go to hospital. That's their thing.
they daughter, love to be in hospital.
Yeah. What is it?
I'm on holiday in hospital.
Yeah. That's where I am. Very possible episode title, on holiday in hospital. Eating smack barm pay wet. Has to live with the fact that daddy can't take her to Disneyland because the man can't sell any fucking cookies.
All right. Well, now that's... He's extrapolating.
Feels
quite a
little
bit.
Self-inflicted.
That's a bit dramatic.
Yeah. I'm not maybe selling like, shit without sprinkles. Nobody's going to buy anything.
Spend some more time with your kid instead of writing a fucking novel about sprinkles on the internet. Good grief.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Dan better watch out. Dan better call in sick to work tomorrow because... He's gonna get an earful.
Yeah,
they're gonna find him hung on a hook in the treats locker.
Yeah, and then this tweet that supplies all this information is followed with what apparently is the British version of Galaxy Lamps, which is a bunch of suction vibrators that this person is trying to sell.
Yeah, so like someone tweeted all of this stuff and then was like, "Buy this sunset lamp and this suction vibrator." Those suction vibrators freak me out. Sadly, I think we may have discussed this on the show before, but. Apparently, people really like them. They freak me out.
Yeah,
I do. I would
this.
Not trust
there are
something
so many
I bought
ads.
From a.
Yeah, I'll say this. Replies. They do look like they might be mesmerized by the hum. That's what I'll say about the suction vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it looks like something from Prometheus. It looks like
the
thing.
I think
that's
the slogan for them, right? Is that like you will be mesmerized by the hum, of the suction vibrator.
The first one looks like the thing that goes in the guy's helmet in Prometheus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the meeting. They're like, hey, guys, really liking everything about this new vibrator putting out. One problem, it does look a lot like that thing from Prometheus. Are we concerned?
Is this an issue?
There's also like there's a few more products here down at the bottom. There's one, some kind of horrific teeth cleaning device with a GIF of teeth being cleaned. It's not good.
There's some nasty
Again,
stuff.
I don't think you should put like the vulnerable parts of your body in contact with things you buy from Twitter replies. Like... Don't a vibrator, a teeth cleaner, like don't put it in your mouth. You bought it from Twitter. Like
blackhead removal. What about that? That's the last one.
Yeah, I don't know. I just I don't think if you want to buy a sunset lamp, fine. That's not gonna, like, I don't know, give you cancer from its, like, microplastics or whatever. But the rest of the stuff, keep it out of your body. That's all I'm saying. Keep it out of your body.
Yeah. As someone who's bought a toothbrush at a bodega, I will still support this.
That
I
is
immediately
true.
Got appendicitis. So just like those toothbrush in the wars, all the bristles fell out and I got appendicitis right away.
All the bristles got stuck in your tonsils. Yeah. And yeah, it was a nightmare.
I got porcupine throat. I'm in hospital with porcupine throat because of my poor quality toothbrush.
Well, I hope this guy can get his sprinkles approved so that his 7-month-old can go on holiday.
Send us some
of
these cookies. I don't think you can send the Bruce because from what I've read, I think it's like a 32-pound cake. But
I Googled it. I was trying to find it. Yeah,
it's a big ass cake.
Any pictures of the birthday Bruce? Oh, a towering slab of 12-layer chocolate cake. I mean, it does sound good. Those raspberry glazed donut cookies sound delicious. Like, I do want one of those.
Yeah, dude.
Sprinkles are
no. We can source your sprinkles. We'll smuggle them in.
Yeah, we'll mail you some.
Yeah.
The good American. I also want to know the brand
mail them,
of
though,
the good.
We can't mail them, though, because they'll get seized.
Well, no, I mean, we declare it as something else. Oh, we could do that on our, yeah,
declare
British
them
tour.
Declare shitty British sprinkles being
strap
returned.
Strap them to our bodies, yeah. So we just, yeah.
Yeah, but then they all melt and we all get all stained with like sprinkle color. That's no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we send them, Bobby's going to open the package and just mash them with his truncheon. That's how that's going to go down.
Yeah.
I want to know the brand of the good ones, too. Like, that's important to me to know, you know, for my own purposes. Because they are legal over here, apparently, so.
Just go to town on some sprinkles.
Go nuts. By the handful. Mm-hmm. Just sprinkles only. Should we
sprinkles only? You don't have to be lonely on sprinklesonly.com.
That is the dating site for sprinkles.
Yep.
I don't know what that's a slang term for, but I don't think I'm into whatever they're into, is my guess.
Sprinkles is for people questioning water sports.
Yeah, like you're curious about
sprinkler.
Pee, but you're not quite ready. Yeah.
Yeah. What an end to an episode.
Let's do plugs.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Everybody! Live show in 5 days.
Please.
Saturday, October 23rd. You should come to it or stream it. There's a link in the description. If you go to Caveat's website, I believe it's caveat.nyc, you can just look on the calendar and we're there. Joe Firestone, 7 p.m., if you're coming, you got to be 21 and have proof of vaccination. Obviously not if you're streaming. And
check out her new special, by the way. It just came out. It's supposed to be really good. I haven't watched it yet. But
yeah,
she taught a bunch
it.
Of senior citizens how to do stand-up comedy, and then they did a show. Check it out.
On Peacock. So, so that's the big thing. If you're a patron, patreon.com/whatatimepod, you get $5 off the ticket price, which basically pays for itself. And in addition to that, you get hundreds of bonus episodes. You get live show video. You get a Roadhouse commentary track. You get a Fast 8 Fate of the Furious commentary track, which we just put out this past week. You get videos of things like us doing the Death Nut Challenge and a few other things like that. And, you get to come hang out with us on some stuff, right? The streams.
Live streams. Yeah, we're starting to do live streams. You also get free shipping at our merch store.
Yeah, which is at whatatimepod.bigcartel.com. So those are the big ones. There's also the Discord, link in the description. If you're at the $10 level, you can submit stories in the Discord. And whatatimepod on Twitter, whatatimepod on Instagram, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. And that is that's that. I am Patty Mo on all the stuff, and I have another podcast called called Not You Guillermo. It's What We Do in the Shadows podcast. And last week we just had John Gabris, and this week we had some audio from when I went to Comic-Con and spoke to some of the cast and crew and tried not to embarrass myself by being super impressed by being next to, like, Matt Berry and stuff. So that was super fun. Check that out. It's me and Nicole Conlon, former guest of the show, or previous guest of the show. Former guest is a weird way to say that. But, so Not You, Guillermo, check that out. And also, I was just came out an episode of Soundtracker, which is a fun podcast where we go over some old 90s and early 2000s kind of forgotten movie soundtracks. We did an episode about Idle Hands, which is a Devon Sawa movie from the late 90s, early 2000s, where Devon Sawa, his hand starts trying to kill everyone around him. And Jessica Alba's in it as well. So check that out, too.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We just put out an episode about a phone scam that got a bunch of news on the West Coast. It was written about the San Francisco Chronicle. Basically, if anybody calls you and for whatever reason wants you to get a gift card, don't get a gift card. They're fucking with you is the moral of that story. But check that out. We also just did a really interesting bonus episode about an affair called the Great Salad Swindle of 1963, which almost crashed the entire stock market, but nobody remembers it because it happened on the same day as JFK's assassination. Really interesting. I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything. And I think that's all I have to plug. Come to our live show. Thank you.
I do a show on Twitch as well called TVND. You can find it at twitch.tv/TV, the word and D. It's Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Where we play D&D as different TV casts. And actually this week, which will be tomorrow if you're listening to this on Monday, at 8 p.m. we have Patty on, and we're going to be doing the last episode of our What We Do in the Shadows block. I don't know what we really call it. So you can tune into that. If you miss it, they're all up on YouTube, or you can watch old episodes there as well. And that is it for me.